another blow to Toyota's reputation.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Toyota has halted sales of a Lexus SUV. And this time it's not about sudden acceleration. It's a rollover issue. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us now live from New York. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, Bill.
We're talking about the Lexus GX460. What is the issue?
Well, the magazine Consumer Reports does its own vehicle testing, and they found in their testing that when the driver is making a sharp turn at a high speed and then takes his foot off the gas, the back of the vehicle slides toward the outside of that turn, and they say that could lead to a rollover. So they slapped a do not buy warning on it, something Consumer Reports has only done once in the last decade. Now Toyota, taking this very seriously, is stopping sales of this vehicle, and they're going to try to reproduce these results in their own testing before they make any other moves.
I would like to know how many times I've asked this in the last several months, but can things get any worse for Toyota?
I don't know how many times you've asked that, but I did talk to one guy this morning who says, yes, it could get worse for Toyota. Paul Newton, he's an auto industry analyst at IHS Global Insight, and he says, first of all, this has to be put into context. The idea that SUVs roll over with sudden movements at high speeds is not something new, he says. But he says this is a Lexus SUV we're talking about, not a Toyota RAV4.
When you're a big player in the prestige market, this kind of thing will impact you more than it does in the mass market.
But having said that, Bill, he says Toyota does seem to be weathering this storm pretty well in terms of sales, thanks to some very aggressive incentives from dealers.
Yes, Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson in New York. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks, Bill.
It looks like Democrats in Congress will introduce a bill to make companies and unions tell us when they give money for political advertising. This is a response to that Supreme Court ruling in January that the government can't restrict those contributions. Marketplace's John Dimsdale has that story.
The Supreme Court's ruling isn't likely to be overturned, so campaign finance reformers are left pushing for more disclosure of who's giving how much to which candidate.
Nobody can tell me that our founding fathers were sitting around a table saying that money was to be considered under the freedom of speech provisions of the Constitution.
Common Cause's Bob Edgar says contributors should be a visible presence in campaign ads, and that could end up in the legislation.
So I want them to come on and have their face and voice on the television ads.
But Brad Smith with the Center for Competitive Politics is skeptical about on-screen endorsements.
What would be gained by that? If we went out and did a survey, I don't think you could find probably 10% of Americans that could name more than two corporate CEOs and actually attach them to the corporation.
The upcoming legislation is expected to set out how groups sponsoring political ads will disclose their donors. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And let's disclose the numbers. Stocks are up, call it 0.5% in Europe and Asia. Singapore said its economy grew last quarter at an annualized 32%. And after trading closed in New York yesterday, the American chipmaker Intel said first quarter profit nearly quadrupled from a year earlier. Intel said it expects to hire about 1,000 people this year worldwide. And we'll see whether the Dow can build on yesterday's 13-point gain. The close was 11,019.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering GoToMyPC, allowing users to work from anywhere via the web. More at gotomypc.com/market. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
U.S. Airlines got some good news this week when a report came out showing passenger complaints are down. Researchers at Purdue and Wichita State Universities counted complaints lodged with the Transportation Department. Sounds good, but Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus is skeptical. Why is that, David?
Well, Bill, far be it from me to pour cold water all over the airlines. Maybe they're stepping up their game with a renewed commitment to high performance and customer satisfaction. But I don't know. I talked to the authors of this new report, and I noted to them, I said, wait a minute, you're basing it all on complaints to the Department of Transportation. Well, what if we're just complaining less because we're just so used to the idea that we're going to be miserable every time we set foot in the airport?
We're just beat down. David, here is a complaint that did increase. Involuntary denied boardings?
Meaning you're getting bumped. These guys are essentially selling more of a product than they have on the shelf. In other words, seats on the plane. Any other business that tried to pull something like that, we'd call it fraud. Now, it turns out as long as the airlines say up front that they might pull some shenanigans like this, that's okay. And apparently federal authorities say, okay by us too. But even so, I think when they sell people a ticket, you sell people a ticket. And if that guy doesn't show up, then he's out the hundreds or the thousands of dollars he spent. Nobody else should be inconvenienced.
My shuttle doesn't show up and I'm out $800, David?
Well, there it is. But, you know, the idea that you're going to sell an extra 10 seats or 20 seats per flight and then kind of roll the dice, all you're doing if you're an airline is offloading your risk to the passengers who did have the wherewithal to show up. Outsourcing risk like that doesn't strike me as particularly fair.
You just did some air travel. How can we make our trips a little happier?
First of all, board the back of the plane first. What, are you kidding me? All these people who get on and try and load these wheelie devices into the overhead bins. I mean, come on. Second, wheelie devices. What's the deal? Let's just stop it with this. I say carry-on bags are carry-on bags. Backpacks, shoulder bags, whatever. Check all the rest. And finally, cashless airlines. Oh, come on. Paying $3 for a cookie with your credit card. How about if we just sell vouchers at the gate and you can get it on the flight after buying the voucher?
LA Times business columnist David Lazarus. Some good ideas in there, David. Thank you.
Come fly with me.
As for the fees airlines are charging for extra luggage, remember you will not need a big suitcase full of clothes if you're going to a nudist resort. There are clothing optional travel companies, and they're reminding consumers how convenient it is to go on a naked vacation, or as they call it, a nacation. Not only do you save on luggage fees, but when you think about it, that airport security screening machine is going to see through your clothes anyway. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.